Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndySgirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code Andy's Girls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine. You guys, guess what time it is? Turtle time. And also, time to stock up for BravoCon. Whether it be the BravoCon in New York City or the BravoCon in your heart. in mind, that loving, special place where you think about all things Dallas and OC just all day long. Okay, with BravoCon almost upon us and the holiday season just right around the corner, I guess we're kind of in it since, did I say Halloween or holiday? Regardless, it's time to get yourself some official Andy's Girls merch. What's that you say? Hoodies? T-shirts? In the know special phrases? Baby onesies? Notebooks? Pillows? Other things I probably don't even know about? Baseball tees? Tote bags? Mugs? So much, and it's all really, God, better than Beverly Beach. What can I say? What a high bar. To buy Andy's Girls merch, which is seemingly constantly on sale. Thanks so much, T Public, for all those sweet deals. Go check out the direct link, which is on this episode's description. Holy fucking shit. It could not be easier. And so am I. Tell your friends. And by friends, I mean Chris Manzo. Okay, guys, enjoy this week's episode and your Andy's Girls merch, which Santa says is the only merch to ask for. Enjoy, and I'll see you soon in an Andy's Girls crew neck sweater at BravoCon. Bye-bye. I don't need a costume to be the queen.
No, do you mind?
Hey, hold on.
It's not a mask. It's just my face. That's not me specific. I'm just like, that would be funny if they did it.
Listen, it is Halloween. Everything goes here on the People's People's Couch. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 130, which feels...
huge for you. That's huge.
It's big for me.
That's huge.
It feels like a lot. We were just talking about taglines and the fact that I haven't said 130 taglines because there have been some eps where I like have a fun little intro situation, but I've said definitely over 100. And at this point, they're like, hey.
Well, it's like, it's, I mean, first of all, the housewives do not write their own taglines anymore, right? At all in this light. I mean, maybe Bethany, but mm-hmm. like even then, you know, she like hires like a punch up for this.
Yes. And verbally berates them until like version 16.
I mean, I asked you to remind me what Dorinda's was because hers this year is especially incomprehensible.
And I've already forgotten.
If you've got a problem, it's your problem.
That's right. If you've got a problem with me, it's your problem.
It's great.
Well, you know what else is great?
Because it is their problem.
It is their problem.
Whatever.
But... this episode is not a problem. Oh, look at what I did. Good.
Wow, you have done a lot of these.
You're a pro. I am so excited to have a new guest on the People's People's Couch. This is a very...
The
People's People's Couch. Nice. Very... couch. Thank you so much. It was $140.
Ooh, a steal.
Thank you. Jennifer Convertible's going out of sale. Lindsay Weber, writer, editor, co-host of the incredible pod Who Weekly. Let's give the listeners who surely already listen just a little download on what Who Weekly is. A bi-weekly celebrity gossip podcast presented by Lindsay and Bobby Finger, focusing specifically on tabloid coverage of D-list celebrities.
Yeah.
And it tackles everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
That's our tagline.
Magical.
As in everything you need to know about the celebrities that you don't know, but also that you don't need to know, which is like the double entendre of that.
I love it. You see,
like that's a good tagline.
So I feel like you're the perfect person to have on AG. Would you put Real Housewives in that?
Yes, all of them. Every category? Single one. Yeah.
So define what whoism is.
Well, it's a very purposefully broad categorization. So you're either a who or a them, meaning like, who is this person or I've heard of them, you know? And it is, I would say that like, sure, it sounds subjective at first, but I would say like there's a big, you know, we can usually come to a consensus depending on time and who it is. I would say most reality stars, a lot of them are who's, but as we go into like, it becoming normalized to have a reality show, they can be thems with reality shows as well.
So
Lindsay Lohan, for example, let's say.
Is a them.
Yes, but with who tendencies, we'll say.
So, you know, like she's a
Australia,
them.
Australia, BC sees that. Yeah.
Her them is like name recognition. Everyone's like, oh, Lindsay Lohan, of course, like party girl, yeah. whatever. And millennials would know her the most. But, you know, she's losing relevance with people younger than the age of like 17, let's say.
I would argue she hasn't had it since.
She kind of is like emblematic, though, in a weird way. And she and I think a lot of this nostalgic tabloid culture means that teenagers do know who she is, weirdly. Like they watch Friends, you know, like they like this is streaming means that like everything old is new. So whenever I think like, oh, you know, is my age like I'm 30, blah, but like that's a Jenny Slate-ism. But like oh I God, always so think like, that. Oh, everyone's younger than me. Like they don't know who Tori Spelling is. But like is 90210 streaming because like they might watch that.
They wear the T-shirt.
Because they fucking watch Friends and everything is available. They love The Office. So like you got all these 12-year-olds being like knowing who John Krasinski is. Although I feel like he's a big movie star, so whatever. But I mean, or Jenna Fisher, let's say.
Yes.
So there's like there's a lot to it. We do a lot of like who them games and stuff will change over time. Who's will become them? Them's will become who's?
Are there any Bravo celebrities that you've really focused on in your discussion, be it Real Housewives or others?
Sure, of course, all the time. I mean, I think NeNe Leakes is always a good character because she always comes outside of the Bravo universe. We will cover Bravo stuff that is outside the show. So I don't want to just recap what happened on the show, but if there's actual real life like tabloid interesting tabloid stuff, Bethany causes a lot of outside, you know, drama. The Richards women, because of their connection to Paris Hilton, caused a lot of outside drama. You know, it's like you know it when you see it, but I would say anything like Page Six would touch on them will touch too.
Page Six, the Bible of the Real Housewives of New York.
But you notice they don't do specifically recaps. Like they save that for like you guys.
Yeah.
They'll do like anything that's like more outside that, like let's say they're seen fighting for real off season or something with someone's husband or something with like the Meghan King Edmund thing.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Even watch that show. That one. What is it?
Real Housewives of Orange County.
So I don't even watch that, but I'm caught up on her drama because it's so fucking ridiculous and it's become pushed outside of like the Housewives realm.
Can we put a pause and talk about all things Meghan
sure,
King Evans?
I need you to tell me because then I'm going to use this in my podcast.
Oh my God. Well, first off, talk about anything at any time all day. Who, them, right. what, why.
So he cheated on her twice now.
So he cheated on her via text and then maybe not fucked the nanny.
Definitely fucked the nanny. Wasn't the nanny's Instagram like nanny, like Melinda? Wasn't her Instagram nanny something?
It was something crazy.
Like at nanny. I think it was.
So this whole social media approach, shall we say, that Jim has been taking this week has been a look for a man who seemingly hated every moment that he was on TV.
Right.
He has gone out of his way to like get headlines on Instagram of all places. So Megan says he filed for divorce and the blogs knew about it before she did. He says somehow they magically found out. She made some like winky-esque social media posts when people were landing on the fact that maybe Jim fucked the nanny. Jim says he didn't fuck the nanny. She's like a daughter to him. He was just going to a hockey game with her and someone took a photo of it and it looks worse than it is. Megan says, well, he didn't tell me he was going to these games and hanging out with these people, i.e. he and the nanny were working behind her back and something nefarious must have been going on. But according to Megan, she's like, I didn't explicitly say they fucked.
Is this, here's my question, is any of this on the show yet?
Megan hasn't been on the show for a few seasons.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like, then this is when it becomes like interesting because you have this like semi-famous person cheating scandal. And she's not even on the show anymore.
She's not even on the show. The timing of it is fascinating because she just cameoed on the show for 2 seconds, got yelled at, and then was no longer on.
Incredible.
But she is America's sweetheart for so many Bravoholics because she's the one that was like the super sleuth that uncovered the fact that Brooks Ayers was lying about cancer.
So to me, that's a story that I think we covered because it was just like funny. Like that's hilarious.
The Brooks stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, City of Nope.
Lying about cancer is really dark.
pulling medical records from Google Image and then not checking to see if there were spaces in between the words and then being like, no, this is what my cancer doctor said. Oh, look, a bird. Like that's
amazing.
That is amazing. The fact that his girlfriend, Vicky Gummelson, OG of the OC. Right.
Another big one.
Conspired with him. Phenomenal. But the irony of all of this is that Megan, who was such a great like tween detective,
couldn't figure out that her own husband is cheating on her.
And yeah, and the fact that it may something inappropriate happened with the nanny. Now, I'm not saying he fucked her. I'm not saying she whatevered him. I'm saying that by not being upfront with his wife about things he were, let's give Jim Edmonds the
benefit of the doubt,
which he does not in any way deserve.
I don't know if I feel like I want to do that.
He doesn't deserve it for a second. Knowing as we do that he was, quote unquote, emotionally cheating on her this year. And she says that he had been told by the therapist, do not delete any texts. You have to be open with her about everything.
And didn't she forgive him the first round of this?
Yeah. Okay.
That's the other thing that I think is the real, what really draws people in is whether, is it, if they're like kind of allowed to pass judgment, which because she's a public figure, they kind of feel like they are on, you know, whether what she, whether she should have the first time around said it's okay. Didn't she write that long blog? And she
was
like,
she's a great writer.
Yeah. Well, and then of course it got worse and everyone was like, told you so, or like, you know, fool me once or whatever. And now she's like, okay, we're actually getting divorced. Or but he's like, we're getting divorced.
He filed, which I thought was strange. His ex-wife has said some really shady shit about Megan. One of his kids from a former marriage, I think Megan was lucky number three. One of his kids has said some shady shit. Lucky. I don't care about any of this because I feel like, listen, I don't care about the members of Team Jim because some of these people might have been against Megan from the start because that wasn't, you know, like his daughter's mother or whatever else, or the ex-wife might not have like warmed up to her. But I do think it's tragic that Megan has been super public about like caring for her special needs quasi toddler and she's been traveling all over the country to seek medical care for
his kid.
His kid, she gave birth to twins. I think they're like around a year-ish, maybe around that. And one of them they just discovered relatively recently has neurological issues. Oof. So she's been seeking treatment. So in the midst of all of this, and she's been very open about that, you know, the cheating, the first text cheating scandal happens. Now this happens. And then Jim is posting shady shit on Instagram. And it's like, do you not know? I can't pretend to dislike Megan, but let's pretend that I did. I don't see how the sympathy could be anywhere close to being in his favor regardless. And it felt like he was digging a grave by being
just talking,
sassy.
talking.
Yeah, and doing it on Instagram.
Well, you know what they say about housewives, ironically. It's a marriage killer.
Like, it is.
They'll all be single by the end of this entire thing. Even the most like securely married housewives will be single. I'm sure of that.
Do you think that
even Kyle Richards will be single by the end of Housewives?
Oh my God, does that mean Mauricio is mine?
I'm just saying, like, this is not good. As long as you're on the show, you're fucked for your relationship.
Do you think it uncovers truths about broken marriages, or do you think it ruins marriage by the simple fact that they are putting a marriage under a microscope and none is perfect?
I mean, you saw we're going to talk about it. I would talk about it now, but the Teresa Jo thing where she's like, I mean, she is so, how many lights are out? Every single light is out in her.
She's not home.
She's not
Teresa
home.
Teresa doesn't live here anymore.
She's literally the dumbest. She's very dumb. God, that's so, I don't care. She's very dumb. She said, oh, I would do it again. Of course she wouldn't. He said, I wouldn't. You know, they would have lived a very normal, maybe they would have done a few crimes or whatever, some crimes, but, you know, harmless money crimes, and lived fine private lives like normal people and no problem.
I think Joe made a point, which was the attorney general would not have shown up in court to make sure that she went to jail had they not been TV stars.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think they would have gotten.
They were made a example of.
Yeah, like Lori Loughlin, you know,
they wouldn't have figured out that he wasn't a citizen.
They would have or wouldn't have?
Would not have.
And that was found out because of the drunk driving thing where he was using his brother's license, pretending to be his brother because he had an expired...
Oh my, what an idiot.
I think he had an expired driver's license. Either and that's way, like when it started, it was a domino effect.
These people would have had more than enough money to cover up any single issue that they had. The number one issue was that they didn't have enough money to continue that. And they had every single light shone on them from this show. And like... You know, they were made an example of, and they're not that smart, you know, in terms of this stuff. And like, Bravo's not going to help them. Like, Bravo doesn't want a piece of that. It's just like, it was so messy watching that because it was weird to watch Andy navigate this clearly, like, thing that... You want to be like, yo, like, fuck ICE, because truly, fuck ICE. But then also, these people did a crime, you know, and they were messy about it, and they got caught. And now they have to, like, figure out what to do, and, like, no amount of, like, privilege or TV stardom is going to save them from that, you know?
Yeah, it might have helped bury them in any ways.
Literally helped bury them.
So did you watch the special live?
I didn't watch it live. I watched it, but it was live.
Yeah, it was taped.
What a mess.
It was taped, but a lot of people seemingly wanted to watch it while it aired.
Right.
Like, they recorded with him, I think, for 2 hours, and then they made that into 44 minutes.
Oh, but it was taped live, like, no, so it was edited, technically. Okay.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. They edited it down.
I mean, if that's edited down, then what a mess 2 hours was. Like, what a mess it must have been. If that's what they got out of that, oof.
I felt sort of strange about it because I was obviously like chomping at the bit to watch it. I, you know, it's one of those things where am I watching it because Andy was joking that it was like his Frost Nixon, which maybe wasn't a joke, but like, was I watching it because I was in on the joke? Was I watching it because of the actual international drama that this has become? Like, what was the reason? And it was a question that I kept thinking because Andy himself spent so much time winking at the camera and at us where it felt like an episode of The Office Fun Fusion Dateline NBC.
It's like, okay, so like, imagine if the person interviewing you was also your boss, kind of. Like, Andy is like the daddy. Like, they he all is. He's up to him. And like, so
for genuine reasons.
There's no like journalistic, like he's not a journalist, you know, like he's the daddy. Like, this isn't like an impartial viewer asking questions. Like, they want to stay on his good side, especially Teresa. Teresa would never say, I regret being on Housewives, even if maybe like deep down she does. He, I guess, has nothing to lose at this point. I mean, the bleakest version of this was like him calling her out and just saying various shit that she clearly didn't mean. And, you know, ultimately, all of this drama is like good for the show, which is like something that they all deep down know.
When Andy said, you know, when are you guys going to see each other? And Teresa's like, we have a teacher's convention or something, which I wanted to know much more about because I am insane. And Andy goes, and she's like, I'll be in Italy in a couple weeks. And Andy says, and we'll be with you. I lost my mind because I was.
Because why would you even ask that then? Or like.
Well, no, as a way of telling us, I lost my mind. Right. I was like excited, like, but also terrified.
When are you going to see him? You know the answer to that, Andy, because you're going to, like, you're doing it. Like, bringing them together.
It's the show within the show.
Right. And like, would Teresa have gone to see Joe if the cameras weren't going? Maybe not.
Valid question.
She just would have sent the kids.
So how did
they're old enough to go on their own?
Completely. Gia can take that. She's been parenting them while they've been away.
How old is she? Yeah. 17,
She's
18. 18. Yeah.
So what were your thoughts? Did you think it was well produced? Did you enjoy it? Did you find it entertaining, or was it like just too depressing and dark?
You know, I love Watch What Happens Live. I find it to be one of the, probably one of the best talk shows that exists right now in terms of like Andy just being a really great host and also finding the right types of people to be on it and the right questions to ask them. I also love games.
Yeah. You know, and I love the combinations. It's the only talk show that I watch and I enjoy watching
it. He genuinely has like good booking and knows exactly what famous people want to do on those shows. And also like, having people who love Housewives engage with Housewives, it's fun. Like, it's, you know, having people meet people they want to meet is great. And he's definitely found that niche. I would say like these specials though, when he gets like semi-serious and like tries to tackle an issue, the same thing with like Bethany and like all that stuff.
Lou's backyard.
I don't love this. I don't love this format for him, I will say.
Why?
Because I feel like it's like he wants to like take ownership of everything Housewives when like there's too much self-interest involved in these conversations for him that it almost just feels like another Watch What Happens lot. Like it almost takes away from like the seriousness of these people's actual issues where I'm like, am I watching like an actual interview or am I watching like a performance piece or like an episode of Housewives essentially? It doesn't feel actually real to me.
How much of a vested interest do you think Bravo has in making sure that the interview is done in-house 100%. Versus by like their sister network 100%. NBC or somewhere else?
As much interest as like E has in keeping every piece of Kardashian shit on exactly E. Right. So like, yeah, no, I mean, I think Bravo's like, how do we keep everything in-house? It's like, I guess Andy's the right person for the job, but there's just also like, we're not going to get like actual answers to these questions that we want to know, especially with Andy being like, and we'll be there, you know, like that's ridiculous. You're right. Like, how am I supposed to take anything you say or they say seriously if that is the case?
I found myself, so I watched it three times because I am a sociopath.
I was going to say, do you, like, are you okay?
It was, first off, I was going to watch it, when I keep using the word, the phrase live, I just mean like when it was on TV at like 11 o'clock or whatever it was on Sunday or 10 or whatever, or 8. I don't even remember what time it was. I was planning on watching it while it was airing. Yeah. And then we live in New York City.
What happened?
And the Prince of Darkness, Mayor de Blasio, who I just...
Turned off your power?
No, just made the trains go away. Oh. So it took me like over an hour to get from Union Square up it to the sticks of the Upper East Side. So truly. I was really pissed.
Yeah.
And then I watched it. But then I watched it the next day and I felt like... You know what? I'm actually sort of happy that I didn't watch it live because I wonder if I would have felt a little bit of not really a letdown, but a shift because I couldn't properly calibrate how I was feeling about these people while I was watching. And I was getting flooded with AG DMs and shout out to all of you guys. I loved all of your insight. But I was watching and I felt a little bit like...
Was anyone pro anyone?
Everybody was pro Joe. This is super dark.
Oh, okay.
People had a lot of questions about some of their responses to stuff, which we'll get to. But it felt a little bit like I have empathy for these people, but not sympathy. Does that make any sense?
Well, because they're criminals. They did a crime.
Yeah. And they also are so detached from reality.
They
this
are.
This reality
so
star
detached.
And her spouse.
They're so... She is... I mean, she's like on a rocket ship to space. Like her thoughts, her answers to questions were not consistent across the board. Like she seemed to be making them up for the first time and yet they had been practiced. How is it sounding like she's answering these for the first time and yet she knows exactly what's going to be asked? Anybody would know exactly what he's going to ask you, and yet you maybe didn't think about what you were going to be asked. Like, that's what's crazy to me.
And it's an ongoing legal case. Her attorney, who she referenced at one point when she didn't know whether or not she was allowed to vote as a felon in New Jersey. And spoiler alert, because in AG...
You're not allowed to vote.
You are allowed to vote. In New Jersey, according to the whomever of whatever, New Jersey is one of the exceptions where as long as you're no longer on probation and have completed the terms relating to your felony conviction, you are allowed to vote once more.
But here's the thing.
Which Andy didn't know.
Do you
her lawyer didn't know.
Do you think that Teresa has ever voted?
I think she voted for herself in Celebrity Apprentice and that was the end of it.
This woman and this man have never ever voted for us to even be like, oh, they love Trump, they're Trump supporters. I could give a shit. They do not vote. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're stupid and they love other rich people and they don't vote. So like for Andy, even for that, even to be coming up is funny, as if she gives a shit, you know?
It was just interesting to me that like nobody actually knew the answer, myself included. I had to Google it and then I posted like a shot of the Google.
I mean, that's good to know. I love that for the New Jersey felons.
It doesn't
who
mean
want
it
to vote. That's great for.
She's like, not going to be the last one.
Hey,
on hers.
I think it's fucked up that they take away your right to vote if you're a criminal.
I completely agree.
But I will say for Teresa,
thinking that she gives a shit. Andy implying that she gives a shit whether she can vote is funny to me.
It was fascinating to me that she did not seemingly have a concrete answer to the, did you approach your former boss, Donnie T, and why not? And her response and Joe's response were relatively similar, which was, he's very busy doing things.
Oh my God.
We don't want to put him under the microscope where he would get negative attention.
That's idiotic.
Noting that one of the major reasons I think criminal justice reform was passed was because Kim Kardashian got involved in celebrity above anything else is really favored right now in that administration. So I started thinking, is she doing this intentionally? Was she coached to say that so that she was saying positive things so that possibly a pardon would happen?
No.
Are they that forward thinking? No. Or did she really just shut it down?
I think that they maybe tried and got no response. Like, I think that they probably tried to work a lot of connections early on in these issues.
But then why don't they say that? Because it's
kind of like embarrassing. Because, like, I don't think that Donald Trump wants anything to do with them.
Or cares enough.
Does not give a shit. I mean, that's my sense of it. Like, if I had to guess, being on Donald Trump, like, being on The Apprentice does not mean that Donald Trump gives a shit about you.
Conversely, I would think that he would give the most shits about you because he could respond and be like, oh, and on that season, and the ratings were crazy and blah, blah, blah. I think she actually has in many ways more power than some random ass D-list celebrity who had never once faked work for him.
I just feel
Thursdays at 9. I get
a sense that maybe, but once again, she's not reaching out on behalf of Joe because she doesn't give a shit.
I don't believe that. I feel like because she...
Him being out of this country is great for her.
Oh, I totally agree with that. But I feel like because ultimately the major victims in this, the people who are actually being traumatized without ever... Are the kids. And I feel like she understands the pain that like Melania probably most specifically is going through.
Yeah.
And would do anything to help her kids now. I don't think she doesn't give a shit about them. I think they are absolutely on their path to divorce. They are never fucking ever again.
Right. No,
she
of course
is
not.
Scared of seeing him for whatever reason. But I do think that I do think that somewhere in her body, she would do something to get her baby daddy, for all intents and purposes, back home. Feel free. Please disagree.
I just don't think that there's... We're reading into a like a person with like brain chemistry happening. And I just don't think that like anything is happening in there. Like she is just getting to the next point. How can I stay on this show? How can I remain in the spotlight? Like how, you know, I just don't think that anything's going on up there. And I think that she's like, you know, we'll go visit him in Italy. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. Like she really is. Because remember when she was crying and Andy's like, you don't even seem sad. Like, you're crying for yourself.
She's saying something along the lines of, like, those are happy tears. And he's like, they're not. Those are not the tears of a woman who's happy that her husband is wherever the hell he is. Like, she is trying to mask whatever feeling she's feeling. And she's also trying to protect the idea that she's feeling sad.
The number one thing that I thought that Andy actually did find insight for, and clearly there was that she resented him for having her go to jail. She thought she did nothing wrong. He told her that she did nothing wrong, whether or not she did her, you know, whether or not she signed her name or was just doing what her husband said, which she definitely was just doing what her husband said. Again, this woman is whatever. Yeah, was that she resented him for having her be in jail when her mother died soon after.
Yeah.
And I think
that's a valid anger.
That's valid. And that's also like, there's no way that they've been to therapy. He went to jail right after. They didn't go to therapy to discuss that.
They would never.
There's no way to talk through that. They're not going to do that anymore. And like, I honestly think that like the way that they talk about their parents on the show and treat their, especially her dad, like that's an unforgivable offense. Even if it's her husband.
Because her parents, in the eyes of herself and also Joe Gorga, are like untouchable.
And this is a woman who married her husband because he could take care of her and protect her. And like that's the main goal. And this guy can't. He lives in Italy now. She doesn't give a shit. She has her kids.
And, you know, and she's famous, so she can, like, move on. I really think it's, like, a lot of, like, self-preservation.
And speaking of self-preservation or trying to break someone else's, the fact that Teresa, over the course of more than one season, used her parents and her parents' relationship with her brother as pawns, as a way to seek revenge against him and his wife, when you think about the power that her parents and the idea that their parents, as like the roles in their lives, the gods that they were,
yeah,
and the fact that she used that, yeah, to try to sabotage his relationship, and the fact that Joe Gorga said Joe Judice Judice Judice,
yeah, who knows,
did that with them too to isolate Joe Gorga out. And then you think about the fact that she wasn't even, she lost 11 months or whatever of her mother's life, and her mother is like the god, yeah, for better or worse. Yeah. I mean, that is,
and also
dark.
Now, you know, like, now the other Joe Judice and Melissa, that's her
Joe
name,
Gorga.
Right?
Yep. Joe and Melissa.
Sorry. Joe Gorga, yep, and Melissa, yep, can welcome her back in, mm-hmm, and she can be part of, you know, they can comfort her, and yeah, it can be better. I don't know. I just feel like it all kind of works out, unfortunately. Like, she gets to be like this character where people like feel bad for her, and she can move on, and she can still be famous and still be on a TV show.
And the Joe and Melissa element of this is so fascinating, because obviously there was a huge rupture, genuine, difficult for me to watch, when they were the like green with envy years, like at the reunion. That is rough, tough stuff to watch. It is painful. It is real. It's difficult to watch people who are genuinely trying to hurt and harm their siblings, yeah, emotionally and otherwise.
And it's all because of this Bravo TV show.
It was certainly exacerbated by the Bravo TV, right, show, which I think led Teresa to do bigger things than what she probably ordinarily would have done. It, mm-hmm, seemed like she and her sister-in-law, that Teresa and Melissa had some sort of passive-aggressive relationship, and it exploded when Melissa joined the show against Teresa's wishes.
Of course.
And the fact that in the last season or so, because of Teresa going to jail, because of the problems that Joe has had with deportation, whatever else, they have been able to reach an agreement, seemingly, that they get along with each other, they support each other, and it's for the preservation of their family as well as both of their careers on Bravo. Mm-hmm. That is one of the most intriguing to me examples of what this franchise can do to a family.
I just, it's like no
tear
one
you apart,
seems
bring,
better
bring
for
back
it
together.
Yeah, I just, yeah, like, I'm not sure anyone seems better for it. I really don't. Like, I'm trying to think of a person who's come out on top. Like, really, I cannot think of one. I mean, even like Bethany, who like essentially her whole career as like a businesswoman is because of this show, or maybe she would have still been as successful without the show. I don't know. Her life has still been very, very difficult because of being in the spotlight. It's just like not, I mean, I think as much as they fawn over Andy and like thank him for like giving them, you know, notoriety and this opportunity, I like, I'm not sure, like, if they were all being super honest with themselves, I'm not sure a lot of them would be like, this is was a good decision for me
I
to
think
be
it's
doing.
Addictive.
Yeah.
It's, I don't think I could ever do it. No. I don't think I would be able to make the sacrifices necessary for a check that is temporary. Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's why that Joe Gorga saying, I wouldn't have been on this. If we could go back in time, I wouldn't have wanted to do the show, is like the most honest thing ever said on like any of the franchises.
Also, this didn't come up on the interview, but isn't it true? I think Teresa has said this before, that Joe never watched the show when he was on it, not once, and started to watch it while he was in prison. Because
I did
it was
not
like
know
on,
that.
Which is
like so humiliating, gotta say.
But then also kind of fascinating. Yeah. I bet it gives you some sort of capital while you're there.
He didn't know this whole time like what he came off as or
he
something.
He didn't give a shit. Yeah. Now he actually started watching this thing that P.S. is
no
like
cares.
His wife is like the primary breadwinner for their family and has been for a while. I mean,
I,
the ICE agents who were escorting him to Italy asking for selfies. That has got to be a kick in the balls. I don't know if you feel,
I mean,
some
sort of, fuck ICE, like,
I know,
truly
completely.
Fuck ICE. But it's like, it's also just wild to me that to think about like Joe getting deported to his family two, you know, he has family in Italy. He has people who he knows, you know, so many people get deported to places they've never,
with languages they've never spoken,
places they've never lived or whatever, you know. And it's just so interesting to me that I have empathy for that.
Yeah.
Part of this story.
You know,
that's it.
Completely hear you. And I had empathy. And then he started talking about how shitty ICE was and like he was in the clink and the shoe or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that sucks for like opening a window or whatever to get like some vents. Totally right. Hear you.
This
that
really
that sounds,
detailed story that we don't really need to hear. All
but like I was now. Into I was like down, sure. down to clown. And then he starts talking about the fact that, sure, he was technically on a technicality an illegal immigrant, aka an undocumented immigrant, but he wasn't that other kind of illegal immigrant.
Oh, did he really say that?
He intimated heavily that
he's literally the like illegal immigrant criminal that is used as an example.
And he was using himself as an example of how he wasn't the example, that he was somehow different and those people have more rights than people who are here legally. And
he didn't commit like a quote unquote violent crime, right, or whatever.
And he was saying, well, I've been here my entire life, completely ignoring the fact that so have so many other people.
Everyone had. That's not even.
It is insane to me. And so we do this thing called Satchels of Gold, which are in honor of obviously Her Holiness Kelly Killorn Ben-Simone, uh-huh. which are comments and questions from AG
sure,
listeners.
Sure.
So I have a satchel of gold from Courtney in Rochester who says, seriously, fuck them both. Joe's argument is that, yeah, he was here illegally and committed crimes, which he and Tree still have not taken responsibility for, but he's not like those illegal immigrants. Basically, I'm a white immigrant, so it's not that bad.
Right.
And for as awful as I'm sure the ordeal has been, keep in mind the lenience that their white and celebrity privilege earned them, like the fact that they were able to serve their time separately and decided who went yes. first. That's not a standard accommodation made for convicted felons. Millions of people come to this country just like Joe, undocumented at a very young age, and yet he and his wife throw their support behind
also, what a lazy
party.
Ass to not get your citizenship.
Oh, completely. And he and his wife throw their support behind a political party and administration who have made deportation a priority.
Yeah.
Feel for the kids, but Joe and Trey are getting off light compared to brown folks in similar situations. They are truly disgusting people, and I can't wait for the day that Real Housewives of New Jersey stops being the Teresa show. Damn, Courtney from
no, they're right. They're
Rochester.
Right. They're right. They're right. It's just hard to be like, it's hard for me to separate. Like, I don't like. I do feel empathy just because I'm like, fuck ICE. Like, I want the whole thing fucking fall. Like, I hate that he. Like, I these people, they're terrible. Like, they're terrible. But overall, like, what happened to him is happening to people all the time. It should happen to no one. You know. Like, that's what I, that's
it
kind
felt
of my,
like he
my
was
mindset.
Saying,
but they're right. This person is correct.
Yeah. And it felt like Joe was saying in one breath, fuck them. This is ridiculous. And I'm not
also
a violent criminal.
Also, how dumb do you have to be to say that?
Right. And then in the other breath, he's like, I support this structure because I'm not like
dumbass.
The picture of undocumented immigration that I watch regularly
also,
on
why
Fox.
Why wouldn't they say, what? These two are so stupid. Why wouldn't they say if Andy says, you know, you guys are Trump supporters, why wouldn't they say, you know, actually we really aren't anymore, we thought about this and this whole experience has really soured us to his you know administration and what they say about, you know, immigrants coming to him. Like, why not like try and really walk into the empathy at all as opposed to being like defensive, because he's not going to pardon you because you're on Bravo being like, we don't want to bother him.
I think Joe started to tiptoe there and took a giant step back, and I think
best
Andy may have been expecting that response, as I was, or some semblance of it, and it just went another way. Now, if that was because of some sort of legal or communications PR strategy or because they just don't give a shit, I have no idea, but it was certainly surprising.
It's just so strange, because you would think at this point, just lean into like all of the like young women who are watching this show, essentially, let's be real about the demographic, and like, you know, all the women who are watching this show, a lot of them would like you a lot more if you kind of owned up to the fact that what happened to you was fucked up, and it's happening to people all the time everywhere, and maybe you use this experience to like make a connection to this issue that we're having in America, right, with like deportation and ICE.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just like, these people are really dumb.
It's why I felt empathy for them at the same. I was surprised by how much empathy I felt the first time I started watching it. And then I just kept thinking about it. And then I rewatched it, which wasn't fun for me. But no. Obviously, Die For You wanted to be like fully prepped to do a deep dive into all things.
Thank you so much, NJ. All for me.
And then I made the ultimate sacrifice, which was watching it yet a third time earlier today. And I just didn't feel well about it. And then I listened to Albie Manzo's 41-minute conversation with his mother, Caroline, which was a response specifically. It was a special episode.
They haven't been on the show in 45 years.
5 years, five seasons. She wanted to respond.
Oh, because she implied that she was a snitch?
Because Teresa said on the special, because here was the problem. Teresa goes and says explicitly, I don't know if this marriage is going to work out. Andy shows clips of Teresa saying explicitly, I don't know if this marriage is going to go out. Teresa agrees with those sentiments. Andy then says, you know who else agreed with you? Caroline Manzo. And Teresa's brain breaks. And she puts all of her anger and frustration and fear on Caroline and makes herself so unbelievably unsympathetic. Because she goes straight off the train. And I have, so Andy says that he essentially is like, Caroline figured it out before you did, but it's the same exact philosophy.
But also to like assume that somebody's marriage, to guess that somebody's marriage is not going to work on Housewives is like you have a 4 out of 5 chance on that one. That's high odds. And also to assume that any of these women have been doing nefarious things like committing crimes, also a high percentage chance. I mean, I love thinking about Teresa screaming at Danielle being like, you're a criminal. When it's like only a few years later, she would also go to jail for being a criminal.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's like they're all criminals.
It is fascinating that it is the woman who is a convicted felon who's saying because she. Here's the interesting thing. First off, highly recommend listening to Albie's.
There is no way in hell that I'm going to do that.
I understand it. And
the listener
was like,
should do it.
I was like, this is not to compare myself to like Jesus on the cross, a la OG of the OC, Vicki Gumbelson. But I was like, this is a sacrifice I'm going to make. I was shocked by how fucking good this special episode was.
So what was
and how insightful Albie
podcast?
Was. Yeah. So it was his. He has a podcast. I think it's called like Dear Albie or something. And where people like send him stuff and he. And honestly, I swear to God, I'm going to start listening to it because his response, his insight in conversation with his mother was, I'm not fucking with you. It was, I mean, she's
so always
good
been,
she's amazing.
She's a quote machine.
Yeah.
That woman.
She is. And she sort of over the course of 40 minutes, just very cleanly takes shot after shot and just disembowels Teresa. And there were a lot of great moments that I can't even reference because the whole package in and of itself is really good.
Yeah. The smartest housewives are the ones who left, you know, like that. It's like, it shows like, Caroline is not stupid. She left the show. She knows. She was like, my life is not making my life better.
And the fascinating thing for me was, even though there was so much great insight, they never directly addressed the reason that Teresa was calling Caroline a criminal, which is, I would assume, because as we know, as it was brought up on the show, Caroline's father-in-law died under mysterious circumstances, and there were rumors that her father-in-law was involved with the mob.
Oh, really?
And she said repeatedly on the show how upsetting that was for people to bring up and reference and gossip about, and that this wasn't happening, and the amount of pain her husband's family went through, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it seemed quite obvious to me as a viewer that what Teresa was saying was, because your father-in-law, there were rumors, maybe I started them or maybe I just spread them and like listened to them, that her father-in-law, Albie Senior, whatever the fuck, that, I don't know what his name was. But that her father-in-law was in the mafia or related to them, that makes Caroline a snitch, which is, I guess, the worst thing you could call a mobster. Right. But that also makes you someone who's going to do stuff against the law when, in fact, devil's advocate style, if Caroline had actually ratted them out, that's still nothing illegal. It's like she's saying you're a criminal because you're related to the mob, but you're also doing something that the mob would consider the absolute worst thing a person could do, which is being a rat.
It's just weird because it's like, how did these women all end up on the show anyways, right? They're wealthy. They're from wealthy families.
Or projected wealth.
They're from projected wealth. You know, the chance that this wealth is from nefarious ways is could be high for these women. And especially, like, you come to find out that, like,
they have back, like they were scouted. They, like, I just, it's hard to, you know, casting directors scout these types of families that maybe do have connections to the mob going back in generations. The mob meant way different things, you know, generations ago than it would now, right? Like, it's a totally different thing. Not that that's like better or worse, but hey, you know, maybe there is like a mob connection, but that doesn't mean that like anything snitch has anything to do with that at all to me. Like, and also, I guess my point is that it's like, to call her a snitch when clearly there are so many other people involved in this that could have said anything. It's not like she had access to information that only she had access to. And you could prove that.
And Joe says he knows who it was and it wasn't her. Right. And who was? It's not right. Jacqueline. Right. Like, who the fuck is he talking about?
It's probably someone who's not on the TV show.
Yeah.
Someone in real life.
Yeah.
It's good for him for, like, taking her out of that spiral. Like, she basically calls her out for saying literally, like, she hears someone say literally anything and has to make something, like, get involved with them. And Joe's like, that's ridiculous. Like, it wasn't her. I know who it was.
It felt like she couldn't help herself and went straight back into the bullshit. Like, the,
yeah,
like, Melissa is a stripper style crap where
prostitution whore, etc.
I mean, prostitution whore was at least had like a book behind it.
Yeah.
Like, this is just like things that she has thought in her mind. And Caroline's reasoning was she's surrounded by yes people. She has nobody around her who's telling her the actual truth, and she needs to get on off TV. And Caroline was like, as annoyed as I am, would I sit down with her in a room with absolutely no cameras
and talk to her
and have her say whatever she wants to me and say whatever I want to her? Absolutely, I would do it. But all of this in the cycle, and she, and Caroline is like, ultimately, what she needs to understand that she doesn't is that one day the cameras will be gone and you will once again be a housewife in New Jersey. Who is going to be there for you then? I was there for you before. I told the truth until it got to be too much. Yeah. And who is going to be left in your corner when you don't have the people who are paid to tell you whatever the fuck you want to hear?
Yeah.
Or the people that aren't paid that just want access to the
light.
Once
you're off TV, no one cares about you. That's the major thing, too. Like, if you're a reality star and you don't have a reality show, it's downhill from there in terms of viewership.
Her value certainly changes.
Yeah, I can't imagine her creating something big enough to keep her relevant outside of Bravo, if that were to end for her.
Can I ask you a question? Who's your favorite Real Housewife to chat about on the pod?
You know, we kind of like don't have one that we bring up a lot, but I, you know, Denise Richards joining Beverly Hills was a good one for us, because that was like interesting, because it really felt like a major crossover of like a big star at a certain time coming on. Teddy Mellencamp, because of her like connection to Meg Ryan, we thought was really interesting.
Rest in peace. They broke up this week. No more.
No more. Various ones. I don't know. We try not to bring the same ones up over and over again, actually, because I feel like that's like there are podcasts that are fully dedicated to them. And like, we don't need to be that unless it's like a fun story.
As a Housewife viewer, which is your favorite franchise?
New York, always. I mean, I hate them. And I like, it's like exhausting. But, you know, I like can't stop watching that stupid show. Like, they're so funny.
Carol v. Bethany, what side were you on?
I found, ultimately, I went back and forth, but I found Carol to be very smug. Yeah, like, in the end. Really? And I think Bethany is crazy, but at least she's, like, real. Like, she's not conniving. And also, I do find Bethany's, like, I think she's like real. I don't think she's that conniving.
I'm laughing. And I'm team. I was.
Are
I
you
was
team a, Carol?
No. Well, yes.
I was, also hated I Carol being Carol like, as context. A journalist, I'm like, I hate you. I hate you so much for that. As a journalist.
I was team Carol in the context of, I truly do not think Carol understood or was aware of the crumbling of their friendship until she started watching the show. And then she was like, wait, I didn't know any of this was going on. And then she lost
her marbles.
I think
their friendship was just like a typical friendship where like one friend is really intense.
Yeah.
And like one friend is not. And like, if anything, it was like, no, like team, whatever. It was just like Bethany desperately trying to like grasp on to like a friendship and have like these very direct conversations. And Carol being like, let's just be cool, man.
we're fine. And that's like literally always what happens in certain friendships. Like where one person's like super like, let's fix this. Like, let's go to therapy. Let's fix this.
Or one person is just so deeply emotionally intense and the other person is like, that is truly not my emotional lifestyle.
And I just have to say, like, just for as much as Bethany is like a pain in the ass, like her charity shit is genuinely impressive to me sometimes when she like, she really puts her money where her mouth is in terms of like being a New York socialite. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So like, she does things that are insane, but then you take one step back and sometimes I'm like, I look at what other house everyone is doing and it's like, she's doing a lot. Like, she does a lot.
What did you think of her leaving the show via Instagram and not informing production or her cast members? Which is that. Something Luann referenced on Jenny McCarthy this
Luann
week.
Luann is a psycho. A psycho. Luann is a psychopath.
In what way? Every way?
Luann's totally delusional. Luann is... I want to say she's like mentally ill, and I mean that, and like, I mean like, she lives in a different world. Like, she does not.
She's a narcissist.
She's the most narcissistic person I've ever seen. Like,
you think she's the most narcissistic Real Housewife?
She's the most like
it's a long list.
It is a long list, but I just feel like it's so obvious with her how just she doesn't listen to anyone. She doesn't listen to anything anyone ever says. Watching that Jenny McCarthy interview,
yeah.
Every time I hear her talk, I'm like, you are living in a different world. Talk about yes men. Like, to have no sense of humor, literally no sense of humor. And I don't think that anyone can truly be sober unless they see themselves in any type of way. She does not see herself, I don't think. And that's what they say to her over and over again. Like, do you see yourself? Can you step out of your body and look at yourself? Like, she's not grounded.
Well, I think that was the issue with Miami and also how people are talking about it, where they're focusing on Bethany's meltdown. But what they're not understanding is that meltdown was like inspired by something, which was the amazing, I'm staring at the poster of myself.
I mean,
I
would be a Bethany in that situation. I would also scream.
Oh, so like, would I. So I would I, completely.
I would have a nervous breakdown if one of my friends was just repeating the same pattern. Like, you know, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and expecting a different result.
Completely.
Like, again, I don't love being like, oh, she's mentally ill. Like, I shouldn't actually say that. That's like for her and her doctor too. That's for her and like whatever mental professional that she deals with to decide.
But there is a break.
Pure insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I believe that these women are being driven insane by her by doing the same exact patterns of anger, apology, da 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 with her and expecting a different Luann. Mm. You know? And like, it's totally frustrating to watch. Because they're all nuts, sure, but I genuinely believe that Luann is like this, like up and down, and they're there for her. At least they, they try to be. And then she just acts like nothing, acts like that they should be there for her. She deserves it.
And yet,
imagine if that was your mom. Like, oh,
I would die.
God.
And yet, she says some judgy things. No, I love it. You're on the right show. And yet, she says some things.
Don't cancel
about
me
the
for my housewives'
please,
opinions.
Would
I
never.
Can't go down
no,
for that.
Stop. And yet, she says some things about the fact that Bethany left the show on Instagram without telling the producers or anything. And she's like,
oh, you follow the rules? Okay.
I mean,
they're all sucking up.
I know, but there's something to be said for the show did offer Bethany the opportunity to capitalize in the amazingly successful way she was able to do it. And she tells strangers on social media before she sends a text to production,
but here's
let
the
alone
thing.
Her
but
castmates.
Here's the
I
thing.
Think that is insane.
Behind the scenes, I bet if you asked and you figured out, Andy knew.
You think, okay.
Think Andy.
I hope one person knew.
I think Bethany is, I think if you're like, who's the closest to Andy in terms of all these housewives, Bethany is on that list.
You think that's still the case even after, it felt like there's been a little bit of a fissure last couple seasons.
I think he sees her to be one of the more grounded housewives. And that's like saying something. Like, that's like, they're all up in the sky. But like, she's one of the more like... She left, she came back, I think her like trauma from this year was just like too much. Mm. And like, this is the right decision. I'm like, good, get out of there. Like, get out of there.
And, you know, she's signing other development deals or has signed other development deals.
She's fine. Do your own Shark Tank. You love that shit. You know, like, do anything else. You know, this this platform, this specific TV show is not for you. Maybe a different type of TV show would be for her, not a talk show. Obviously, that was a failure. The worst talk show ever known to man, aside from Kris Jenner's.
Bethany. Lou was like, it was like, the, what did she, Lou was burying her in some ways.
As if she should talk. I'm just saying, like, it's, if I had to deal with Lou, if someone like Luann, I would also lose my
Have you seen
mind.
Her show?
Her cabaret show? No. Have you? You have.
I went opening night.
Oh my God.
To the very first.
And?
And it was one of the best nights of my entire life because you were surrounded by fellow Bravoholics because she was shimmering. She was glowing. She was so
happy.
Like,
I
want to
be happy for her, but I just like can't. I just can't live in that. I can't.
Well, so, speaking of living in that world, I mean, I don't know. What is next season going to look like? They obviously didn't know about Bethany. There's at least one new person being added and right. someone else who may or may not be a friend of.
What's her face is out. Luann's ex-best friend, the construction
Barbara
worker.
Kay was never in. But
Luann, how she dropped her so quick. As soon as the viewers didn't like Barbara, Luann decided that she wasn't a good friend to her.
I'm very confused by their friendship because according to Barbara's social media, they're still very close. And yet Lou on that interview this week was like, she's a piece of shit because she said one thing about, as a joke, about my show when she's been, Barbara Kay,
no
even
sense
said
of
I've
humor.
Been to,
no sense of
had,
humor.
Had been to 8 or to 11
not,
performances.
To not understand, no one is calling you untalented.
Yeah.
You clearly figured out a racket that a lot of housewives have not figured out. A racket that makes you money and makes you feel good. But to not have a sense of humor about the fact that you're not a great singer. Like, it's cabaret. You're a talker and you wear beautiful dresses.
She's a great
and
voice.
You tell scripted jokes and you, it's great. And whatever. I just, it's like her like disassociation from her own self is just like immense.
So you're not feeling Giovanni so much.
I fucking hate it. And I actually interviewed at the wing. I met and interviewed Sonia
and
Dorinda.
Were you the moderator?
I was. And
oh my God, I was so upset to miss it.
It was wild. And I was delighted by them. I will say a few weeks after that, they had that whole thing at Fashion Week happened. And
transphobic comments.
It really fucking bummed me out. Like, that really, like, kind of ruined my time, the time that I'd spent with them. Because I thought that was so
shitty.
These people capitalize on, like, gay fans and gay culture just constantly. And to, like, not have, again, like, does no one read books? These people don't read books. You know? Like, they don't read. To not like have a basic understanding of what you're saying when you're like, I support the LGBTQ.
Or to know and not care.
To know and not care.
What's worse?
That like audio like chilled me to the core.
Wait a second. Go back for one second. So you moderated this sold out panel.
I moderated this
panel.
Sold out. Okay. Yes. It was a free event for
but
wing
still,
members. It was packed. Yeah. It was great.
And it was Dorinda and Sonia. Was there one other person? Was there a producer? Or am I making that up?
No, it was Dorinda and Sonia and me.
Okay, great.
And they were hilarious. Backstage, it was really funny. I was in a room with Dorinda for a second. Sonia managed to hurt herself the minute she got there. They had to pull the first aid kit for her, which like I believe that had never been pulled out to like bandage her foot. She had hurt herself already.
She hurt her little wing.
Like, it's wild. She hurt her foot immediately. And they were just surrounded by people. Like, their entourage was insane.
Yeah.
Which I was like just very like amused by. And Dorinda like is in the room and she's like, I mean, I introduced myself. I think it was clear that I was the moderator. Like, I didn't work there, but it doesn't matter. Everyone like works for them. So she's like, what are these almonds? What is this fan? Do you know where these chairs are from? Like, she's like asking me questions like I worked there. Like, it was just so funny to me. Like, she was just like asking me, like, she was nice, but it was just like insane. It was like, it was crazy the what she was asking me. Like, everything in the room, she was asking me, like, what it was.
Wait, Dorinda was doing that?
Yeah.
That sounds very Sonia-esque.
It was very strange. And then Sonia came in and they were talking about, they immediately started talking shit about Ramona. And they were, like, calling her, like, a pervert, essentially. Like, in, like, a cute way.
Oh, because she's, like.
Like, she was, like, they were, like, she was talking about, like, how to give a good blowjob to them at another event.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah. Like,
oh
some
my God.
Like, but that
That'll
was
be a special episode.
There was like, you're behind the scenes, but they were like, they immediately won me over. I mean, they're just so fully delightful. Like, Dorinda was like, my serious radio show. And Sonia's like, my clothing line. Oh, Sonia, she was like, she made some like little comment about like how her clothing line also has plus size. And I was like, oh, okay. Like she, you know, like she was like reading the room almost. It was very, very weird. Like these women, like they're just not the, I just like don't want people, I don't think people think they're the sharpest tools in the box, but like they're not the sharpest tools in the box.
I think Dorinda is super smart. I think Dorinda is her own worst enemy when it comes to alcohol, but I think that Dorinda is genuinely and well-read. I think Dorinda, I really do. Listen, she might become, you know, a sea monster sometimes, but I really think on the list
drinking though. The also the like constant conversations about alcohol abuse in that show, and to not like, again, to not see yourself and to not like, when you have to constantly apologize for your behavior when you're intoxicated is like a little bit, a little bit.
Luke, totally agree. Luke confirmed that Dorinda and John Medesian are no more. I wonder if that will affect the amount of partying that she does, if it'll be greater or lessened.
I mean, wasn't he part of like the maybe coke issue
was there a maybe?
Yes. Yeah, right. I think so. Like maybe that was like his thing. The dry cleaning was actually quote unquote dry cleaning that business. I mean, I hope so. I hope they all like get sober and well. This, you know, they live in New York, but if they lived in LA, they'd all be sober. Like they'd all be sober already.
I mean, and yet,
I mean, the only thing I want from Housewives is like versions of like the scene where they insult her house, Luann's house. That's the only type of Housewives that I like. It's like, I want more of that. I love when each other's houses.
Like Dorinda's fish room?
My favorite.
Or the circular house. But the circular house.
No, but that's an exact, that's what I want. I want the same scene where they go to Luann's house and it really is beautiful. And they're like, I don't like it because of this. Not for me because of this. And it's like, that's the best Housewives.
One of the best moments that Tinsley Mortimer has ever had on the show is when she said to Lou, like, you're talking about West Palm. That's not Palm Beach. That is West Palm.
And the same exact moment happened with Bethany's house that was technically not in the Hamptons.
Yes.
Ramona got mad. That
too close to the highway.
Amazing. Those are the Housewives things that are the perfect. Those are perfect moments. Yes. Like all this other bullshit, I don't love. They get bogged down when we get into real life stuff. You just want women to passive aggressively tell each other these weird little digs that then get blown up. That's what Housewives should be, you know?
God bless. Oh my God.
Like it happens again and again. Tinsley in clown makeup crying after she didn't do well hosting a charity event. That's Housewives.
Tinsley back together
Tears
again.
From a clown.
Tears from a clown. Tinsley back together again with Scott for the 18th time, thinking that it's going to work out.
Well, you know how the only way it's going to work out is if she moves to Chicago.
Which she's not going to do. She needs the show.
So again, once again, a show ruining a relationship. What's
and
new?
Also almost helping her continue in an unhealthy cycle. Because she has something to talk about. Although I think that Tinsley is that person
off
the show.
But I think that she has this sense of like the good old days when she was actually like a New York socialite. Yeah. When like what's interesting about that is like there really aren't a lot of New York socialites like in the way that she was.
Completely.
Because that system doesn't really exist anymore. Yeah. And so even if she were to get to that point, she would never get to that point again. There's a lot of like wanting to be young and having this like, I miss my old existence.
One of my other favorite Tinsley moments is when she's referencing the fact that fucking killer boat was normal because she's been to Colombia before. And why was she in Colombia? Because she was there for her good friend's wedding and she was a bridesmaid. And who was that good friend? Lauren Santo Domingo. Like these are little nuggets of pure, genuine jealousy inducing moments of extreme A++ society that she brings to the table.
But it makes me sad that like she loves this guy and he lives in a different state and she won't like move there and try it. Like
maybe
because if this was my friend, I would be like, try it.
P.S. Maybe he doesn't want her to. Maybe he's happy manipulating
maybe
her
it's his
in
fault.
This cycle.
You're right.
The saddest
honestly,
thing.
Honestly, more than likely it's his fault.
Right? The saddest thing is what if she's like, I will move there. Let's get married. I want to cook those eggs. And he's like, I'm good. Let me give you more money and pay for the hotel. Stay where you are.
Right.
Sad.
Sure. I mean, there's obviously so many different things. But these, like, there's just so much of your livelihood wrapped up in these shows. Once you get involved in them, that then becomes like chains. Wow. And now you know why we don't like to talk about Housewives that much on the podcast, because it gets dark.
This was so not dark for me at all.
Really? I feel like I fucking called all of them dumb. So sorry.
No, but I loved this. Okay.
Don't. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Listeners, be nice. This was.
Wait, are they going to be mad at me? Who are your listeners like favorite Housewives? Look, if you watch Housewives, you watch with a critical eye.
Critical, but we ultimately love the show. So it's not like I would never want for there to be an end of this.
I mean, I also love the show. You know what show is like? They're terrible, but I love it. Vanderpump. I know that's like, you know, not Housewives, but I think
Housewives adjacent.
I think Vanderpump Rules is one of those shows where I'm like, I try not to get bogged down with their lives because they're either, you know, whatever. And somehow I'm able to like not let it get dark, even though like these are dark, the darkest.
DJ James Kennedy. My God. It might not be about the pasta, but it is about the extreme dysfunction living inside of his family.
I think I need to broaden my Housewives to different
franchises.
That are more upbeat.
Okay. Well, I was going to say something and I'm still going to say it. Potomac, start season 2.
Uh-huh.
Watch it this most recent season.
I've been told
one of the funniest things you'll ever. Dark though, some dark moments.
Yeah.
Sexual battery against a crew member. Not great. Not a great moment.
Ooh.
But it is one of the best seasons of any franchise of all time. And I would say if you want to dive in to a franchise that you maybe haven't followed as much as you have others,
right,
Potomac is the way to go.
Okay. I could do that.
Or Dallas until this season. Forget this season and then just watch last season a second time.
Oh, my God.
And that will be more enjoyable than whatever just
happened. Yeah, I just, you know, I think it's like these shows get you so much into these people's psyches almost. They're almost too real, Housewives, that it can get a little bit like when you start dissecting, you're like, it's a little bit like it's a lot, you know, it's hard to see it as just like entertainment. Sometimes.
It's not just entertainment and it becomes intense. And I think just kind of full circle where we started, I think that's why it was hard for me to watch the Joe and Tree thing. And an AG listener reached out and they were like, it was so dark that I needed a flashlight to go to the bathroom because there was a dark moment and it went too deep.
And maybe I have this perspective right now because that's the last thing I watched. And so like, I love the shows and I enjoy watching them, but because that was the last thing I came here with, that was like truly to me not representative of the Housewives franchise.
I have to say the best representation coming from that special, exploring that special, is that pod. So I would recommend that if you want to be, I can't believe it's, here's the problem is that I deeply want to date Chris Manzo, Albie's brother, the cuter, funnier.
I think
less stereotypically
you're qualified.
Attractive. Chris Manzo. You know what? Albie on his pod, which again, had never listened to until this day, there's like a Gmail address to like ask him a question. And I am thinking about emailing and being like, my question is
Chris single? Can I date him?
Is Chris single? Can I please have him? Can we make a trade? I don't know.
As long as you don't join Housewives franchise, then you'll have a very happy and long relationship.
I don't have time. I'm too busy talking about them. tell the listeners how to listen to your magical magic.
You just search Who Weekly on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcast, Who?Weekly. And, you know, I would say you get a lot of Housewives come to us for like the other bullshit.
And I feel like ultimately they're all connected.
They're all connected. And if there are, you know, Housewives stuff that exists, like tip me off too. Tell me what I'm missing by not tuning in. I think, you know, if we covered, I'd have to watch so much reality TV show if we were like covering kind of the intricacies, layers of Bravo Liberty too. But I love to hear stuff, stories that I maybe haven't come across yet.
Well, I'm so glad that we connected because this was a complete joy. Where can people follow you online, Lindsay Weber?
At Lindsay Weber on Twitter if they want. No pressure.
Even if they don't.
I don't think I really tweet anything that interesting, to be honest.
Well, that's Instagram, a call.
And on Instagram, too.
Oh, my God. Amazing. Well, this was phenomenal. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to say for the 8th time on the People's Couch. And, guys, let us know your thoughts and feels on the Tree and Joe special and, frankly, everything else. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.